The question was asked. Hashem tells Moshe that the children that are dying in the mortar are children who it's in their interest and the world's interest that they finish their lives this way. So then do we say Pharaoh did a good thing? If we say that Hashem is following what's going on and involved in what's going on, and Hashem says, believe me, it's good what's going on, so then what's wrong with people being evil? So then maybe a person should just take out a machine gun and start shooting and say, look, if Hashem doesn't want people to die, then no one's going to die. And if they die, then it's Hashem's doing, not me. Right? So this question is really the question of where two people's b'chira chofshit meet. My b'chira chofshit and someone else's b'chira chofshit. Can someone get up and smack someone else? Free will. Can someone get up and smack someone else and say, you obviously had it coming from heaven, otherwise I wouldn't have succeeded, right? Don't look at me. Point your finger to heaven. Now, there's a true story. Dunash bin Labrat was writing for a certain noble, and one Shabbos this noble got very upset at him, and he sent his men in, and they tore out Dunash's beard, and they beat him up, and they destroyed his house, and they burnt it down. They turned his house to rubble. And he writes a letter to the noble, and he says, you know, I was so faithful to you. When your mother died, I wrote beautiful eulogies for her. What didn't I do for you? Whenever I was even pressed for time and you needed something, I did it for you. How could you believe it when people slander me and tell you all kinds of lies about me? I've always been so faithful to you. Why'd you do such a thing to me? So the guy writes back and he says, look, if you're lying to me and really you did turn on me, so I paid you back what you deserved. And if you really did not deserve it, so then I brought you one step higher in the world to come. Because obviously Hashem just wanted you to go through a little bit more pain in this world, so you'll merit more in the world to come. So that's a very cynical, cruel answer, right? So the question is, so how do we view that? How do we view that? So I want to give a mashal. Okay? Let's take an allegory. Let's take a similar story and then see where we take that. Okay? Imagine that a parent bought a pack of balloons. Imagine that a parent is starting a business and they are going to sell these balloons. So they bought these expensive balloons they're going to sell at different events. Okay? So they have a pack, let's say, of 12 balloons. They want to try out the business. They wake up one morning, and they see that one of their kids got hold of the balloons, and they blew up 12 balloons. Now they can't go and sell these balloons, because the kid blew up all the balloons in the house. So before they can say anything, let's say Chaim blew up the balloons. So, you know, they sell today balloons in the shape of a guitar. They sell all these special-shaped balloons. So Chaim decided it's very cool, and he blew up all the balloons. And then, when the parent sees it, so before the parent can react, Chaim's sister Esther walks into the room, and she's been sewing, and she goes, wow, what cool balloons! And she starts picking at them, and she pops all of them. And the parent is watching from the sidelines, and Chaim comes to the parent and says, why didn't you stop her? She burst all my balloons. And what does the parent say? She's not right for bursting your balloons, and I'm going to talk to her about it. But you had no right blowing up those balloons. They weren't yours. What were you doing blowing up those balloons? I bought those balloons for a special event. What'd you do blowing up balloons without permission? They're not yours. So what happened here? Esther's going to have to pay the price for what she did, because what she did was wrong. What'd she go popping her brother's balloons for? But to a certain degree, you don't mind vis-a-vis Chaim. He deserved it. That doesn't entitle Esther to do it. So you as a parent, when you're talking to Chaim, you tell him, I wasn't going to stop her because you deserved it. And then when you come to Esther, you say, what'd you do pop your brother's balloons? So the fact that Chaim did something wrong, that's your issue with Chaim. That's not Esther's issue with Chaim. It could be that you'll let Esther pop his balloons because you don't mind that he should lose them. But that doesn't mean that you won't take Esther to task a minute later and say, wait a second, why'd you do that? Why'd you go popping your brother's balloons? And she'll say, but it wasn't, he had no right to it. And you'll say, that's not your issue. He had no right to it, that's my issue. By what right did you pop his balloons? Now let's go down to real life. Okay? Let's take two people. We'll give them names. What names do you want? Okay, so we won't give him names. We will go to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Mount Sinai, he saw the following vision. He saw a man come to a river and bend down to drink from the river. He bent down to drink from the river. He put down his bag and he put down his wallet and he drank from the river. And then he got up, took his bag, continued walking and forgot his wallet by the river. So let's say Mr. A, we'll call him Reuven or Avram, okay? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram left his wallet by the river. In walks Yitzchak, looks at the wallet, looks around. No one's around. Whose wallet is it? It's the middle of the desert. There's a stream here. There's no one around. What's he supposed to do? No signs, no way of knowing whose it is. No one's around. He looks as far as he can go. Hello, anyone here? No one around. He pockets the wallet and then takes his raft down the river. A minute later, along comes Yaakov to drink from the stream. So by the time Yaakov's drinking from the stream, Avram, who's just past the next sand dune, realizes, ooh, I forgot my water by that stream. He turns his camels around and comes back to the stream. What does he see? He sees Yaakov bent over under the by the stream drinking. Yaakov has a caravan behind him. He has a few camels loaded with stuff. Avram comes charging on his camel and he says, give me back my wallet. Yaakov looks up from the stream. Huh? Avram says, give me back my wallet. Yaakov says, mister, I don't know you and I don't know your wallet, so I really don't know what you want from my life. Avram says, I've been away for all of 2 minutes. I just went past that sand dune and there's no one here but me and you, so you obviously took it. Give me back my wallet. And Yaakov says, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't take your wallet. Avram draws his sword and he says, if you don't give me back that wallet, I'm going to kill you. Yaakov says, I hope you don't kill me, but I didn't take your wallet. Avram proceeds to come closer to Yaakov. Yaakov says, I don't have your wallet. At which point, Avram cuts off Yaakov's head. Yaakov's dead. And the vision ends. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, what did you just show me? So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, well, you tell me. Moshe says, I look at it and I don't understand. Yaakov is really innocent. He did nothing wrong. Why is Yaakov getting killed? Okay? So, now let's continue the Medrash. The Medrash says, Hashem then showed him another scene. Hashem showed him how Avram's father was murdered by Yaakov. Yaakov murdered Avram's father, and Avram wasn't aware of it. And the Ribbono Shel Olam shows him another scene where Yitzchak, who never met Avram, was once robbed by Avram. So he never knew it, but Avram has some of his money. They were both sitting on a train together. Avram grabbed his money, and he was unaware of it. And years went by, and Hashem wanted him to get back his money. So Hashem brought Avram to that stream just before Yitzchak did. Avram forgot his wallet there and moved forward. Yitzchak comes down, finds a wallet, looks. He has no one to give it back to. He takes the money to himself. What can he do? So now he got back the money he lost years ago. He finishes going down the stream. Up comes Yaakov. Yaakov has already murdered Avram's father, but no one knows about it. Avram doesn't even know about it. He's never met Yaakov. But now Avram comes charging back and he avenges his father's death without even knowing it. Right? Avram doesn't realize it. That's the Medrash on Moshe Rabbeinu. So now we have to ask a question. But wait a second. What Avram did was cruel and illegitimate. Right? Avram has, by what right do you kill someone over a wallet? You have no proof, right? So the answer is, okay, Avram's going to pay the price for that. But Yaakov wouldn't have died at Avram's hand if that wasn't part of Hashem's plan. There's a dual nature in everything that goes on here. There's question number one, can Mr. A be harmed by Mr. B if Mr. A doesn't deserve it? And the answer is no. And then there's question number two. Well, wait a second. Does that entitle B to do it? The answer is no. Hashem will take Mr. B to task over it. Just like as a parent, you come to Esther and say, by what right did you pop Chaim's balloons? Even though technically Chaim deserved it. Daniel, you with me? So that's the dual view that we take on the story. On the one hand, we say he wouldn't succeed in hurting him. And that's the idea that the Gemara says that one creature cannot touch or take away from another creature's parnasa, even a hair's width. But you can compete with him and you could undermine their business and you could do a lot of things. Right, you can try. But whether you'll succeed or not depends on whether they deserve it. That doesn't mean that I won't have to pay the price where Hashem will ask me, wait a second, by what right did you do it? I didn't stand in your way because that's my cheshbon with him, whether he deserved to lose it or not.
Just doesn't make sense for Pesa when it's if the kids deserve it anyway.
The kids didn't deserve it. Let's go back to the Medrash of Moshe and the kids in the mortar. The children didn't deserve it. They didn't do anything wrong. Hashem said, I know that this is how they would end up. I know what the future holds for them. If they wouldn't be here, they don't deserve it. So the Mitzrayim are going to be punished for what they did because they had no right to do it. It's no different than Avram who killed Yaakov. Yaakov deserved it, otherwise Yaakov wouldn't have died. But that doesn't mean that when Avram comes to heaven, their bon shalom won't tell Avram, hey, what'd you kill Yaakov for? In Hashem's cheshbon, Yaakov deserved to die, otherwise it wouldn't have happened. But that doesn't mean that Avram had to do it. Let's take another example. This is where it's discussed by the Gaonim. Hashem decrees on David. Hashem tells David, HaMelech, Hineni mikim alecha ra mi beitecha. There's going to be evil coming from your own home because of what David HaMelech did, that David caused the death of Uriah Achiti and then took his wife, Bathsheba. So Hashem says, from within David's own home, evil will arise, and even though David did it in hiding, David's own wives will be abducted publicly, and that's what happens. David's son Avshalom comes along and violates David's 10 concubines, and he takes David's wealth, and he tries to kill David. So now the Gaonim ask, did Avshalom do something wrong? Hashem had pre-decreed it would happen, right? Yeah, but Hashem didn't decree Avshalom would do it. Hashem said King David would have it done to him. So Hashem created a potential in the world that it should happen. Now, everyone viewed the weakness in King David's kingdom, and everyone knew he could be exploited. It was everyone's free will whether they would choose to be the one to exploit the weakness in the kingdom to form a rebellion against David. The time was ripe. Avshalom saw it, everyone saw it. Other people could have also led a rebellion, as we find. Sheva ben Bichri led a rebellion, Adoniah ben Chagit led a rebellion. There were other rebellions, but they all followed. The first one who caught the timing was Avshalom. So Hashem created the timing. Hashem created the scenario so that it would be ripe for a rebellion. And Hashem warned David, I'm going to do this to you. There's going to be evil coming from your own home. Avshalom didn't have to do it. It had to end up happening to David. But who would be the one to do it? Hashem left it. It's available. Who wants to do it? I'm saying that's a recurring theme in Tanakh. Sometimes there are opportunities to be tzaddikim, to lead a generation, to be the savior of the day. Sometimes there are opportunities. Who's going to be the one to do this transgression? Someone's going to do it. Who's going to do it? Like rebelling against David. Avshalom paid for it with his life. Make sense? Yeah? Tov.